When an angel announced the birth of the baby Jesus, he said, "I bring you good news of great joy." We've all heard more than enough bad news in this world. Now, let's hear the news of joy to the world. This is the Back to God Hour, a program that looks at life in light of the Bible, exploring God's answers to our questions. Our host is David Fettes, and the topic we'll be dealing with today is joy to the world.
If you had to pick a theme song for the average newscast, it wouldn't be Joy to the World, would it? The news is usually anything but joyful. It's full of conflicts, crimes, violence, disasters, and death. Instead of Joy to the World, a theme song for most newscasts would be gloom, despair, and agony on me, deep, dark depression, excessive misery. Why is the news usually so bad? One reason is that bad things do happen. There really is a lot of tragedy in the world. But another reason is that the news media tend to report what is bad and ignore what is good. They ignore what is normal and report on what is sensational. Millions of people get up in the morning, work hard at their jobs, and go home to their families at the end of the day. But they don't make the news. The headlines go to someone who commits a sensational murder or is killed in some horrible way. Thousands of airplanes reach their destination safely with no news coverage. The only planes that make the news are the ones that crash. Many politicians and pastors work faithfully and seldom make headlines, but those involved in scandals make the news. If our news media had been reporting 2,000 years ago, they would have focused on wars and social problems. They would have exposed the scandals, wild parties, and underhanded politics in the Roman Senate and in Caesar's court. They would have commented on taxes and economic issues. In fact, if you read ancient writers like Tacitus and Suetonius, who did report on those times, you'll find that's exactly what they wrote about. Things haven't changed much. Those ancient reporters were as focused on wars, scandals, and bad news as our modern media. It's no surprise, then, that when a baby boy was born in the obscure village of Bethlehem, not many people noticed. Who would be interested in a poor young woman giving birth to her first baby when they could get in on the latest scandal in Rome? Like today's reporters, the people back then were too busy talking about other things to take note of the birth of a baby. But God's reporters saw things differently. They looked where most reporters would never look. They saw good news, and they reported it. When I talk about God's reporters, I'm talking about angels. The word angel in the original language means messenger. Angels are God's messengers, God's reporters. These reporters from heaven knew that the birth of the baby Jesus was far more important than any of the events that seemed important at the time, and they were delighted to bring good news of great joy rather than bad news of great gloom. The Bible says there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests."
Shepherds watch their flocks by night, all seated on the ground. The angel of the Lord came down, and glory shone around. "Fear not," said he, "for mighty dread has seized their troubled mind. Glad tidings of great joy I bring to you and all mankind." Christ the Lord, this shall be the sign. The heavenly babe there shall find, to whom a new display, all meanly wrapped in swaddling clothes, and in a manger lay. Thus spake the seraph, and soon appeared a mighty angel throng, a mighty angel throng, praising the Father for his Son,
with voices clear and strong,
with voices clear and strong,
voices clear and strong.
On the night Jesus was born, the angel who announced his birth said, "I bring you good news of great joy." What exactly is that good news? According to the angel, the good news of Christmas is this: today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. In that one sentence, the angel uses three key words to describe the baby Jesus, three words that ring with good news. Jesus is Savior, He is Christ, and He is the Lord. Christmas is good news, first of all, because it's the birth of a Savior. All people are sinners and are headed for hell unless we're somehow saved. We need someone to save us from our sins. We need someone to rescue us from the punishment we deserve. We need someone who can help us to stop sinning. We need someone to save us from the grip of death and to enable us to live forever. We need a Savior. If the world's greatest need was military victory, God would have sent a general. If the world's greatest need was technology, God would have sent an inventor. If the world's greatest need was money, God would have sent an economist. If the world's greatest need was information, God would have sent an educator. If the world's greatest need was counseling, God would have sent a psychotherapist. But the world's greatest need is salvation from sin and death. So God sent a Savior. "For God so loved the world," says John 3, verse 16 and 17, "that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him." The very name Jesus means the Lord saves. God had every right to condemn the whole world to hell for evil. He could have destroyed us all and been perfectly just in doing so. But instead, God sent His own Son on Christmas to be the Savior of the world. When you believe this good news and put your trust in Jesus, He saves you from God's wrath against sin. He saves you from the bondage of Satan. He saves you from ruining yourself. He saves you from death. He gives you eternal life. It is indeed good news of great joy that a Savior has been born. A second word the Christmas angel used for the baby Jesus was Christ. That word, too, is good news of great joy. Why is the word Christ such good news? Well, when I was growing up, I didn't really know what Christ means. I thought that Christ was simply Jesus' last name. I'm David Fettes because my first name is David and my last name is Fettes, and I figured that the child born on Christmas was called Jesus Christ, simply because his first name was Jesus and his last name was Christ. But the word Christ is not Jesus' last name. It's not a name at all. It's a title. Christ is from the Greek word for anointed one. The Hebrew equivalent is Messiah. The angel was announcing that the anointed one, the Messiah, had been born. What great news! For centuries, God had been promising to send his people the perfect ruler, the Messiah. 700 years before the birth of Jesus, the prophet Micah wrote about the Messiah and even said where he would be born. Micah wrote, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace." Any Israelite who understood this tremendous 700-year-old prophecy knew that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem and that his birth would change the world. So you can imagine the excitement the shepherds must have felt when they heard that the Christ, their Messiah, had been born in Bethlehem. God had kept his word. The ancient prophecy had come true. The ruler who would change the world had come at last. The good news that the one born on Christmas is the Messiah, the anointed one promised by God, is proof that God always keeps his promises. Every word God speaks is fulfilled. Even if the Lord says something hundreds of years before an event occurs, it happens exactly as God said it would. If you are ever tempted to doubt that Jesus is the Messiah, remember the prophecies that were fulfilled down to the last detail when Jesus was born. Not only was Jesus born in Bethlehem, as Micah predicted, but his kingdom has spread throughout the entire world, just as the prophet said it would. Jesus the Messiah has brought hope and peace to the lives of millions of people, and Jesus is coming again to restore everything to perfection. It is indeed good news of great joy that the Christ, God's promised Messiah, has been born. A final word that the angel used to show why Jesus is such good news is the word Lord. This may be the most astonishing word of all. That little baby lying in the manger was none other than the Lord, the living God come down to earth in the form of a human infant. That little baby lying in the manger was none other than the Lord, the living God come to earth in the form of a human infant. On the first Christmas, God himself came to live with his people. The Son of God, who sat on the throne of heaven, who ruled the universe by his power, whose divine majesty dazzled even the angels, this great Lord left the splendor of heaven and became a newborn child who cried when he was hungry, shivered when he was cold, dirtied his diapers, nursed at his mother's breast, and was just as human as any baby that has ever been born. The Lord became one of us. Jesus remained fully God, but at the same time, he became just as human as you or me. Why is this good news? Why does it matter that Jesus is both God and man? To begin with, Jesus had to be God in order to save us. No mere human could live a perfect life, but the Son of God could. No mere human could bear the sins of the whole world, but the Son of God did that when he died on the cross. So it is good news of great joy that the Lord Jesus is God. And it's also good news that he's human and identifies with us. He was made like us in every way so that he could feel our hurts and so that he could serve as our substitute and pay the price for our sins. By sharing our humanity and dying our death and then rising from the dead, the Lord destroyed the power of Satan and freed his people from death. Jesus is also able to help us when we're tempted by sin, when we're tested by suffering, because he's endured those things himself. Never again can we think of God as some being in a distant throne room who has no idea what it's like to be human. Our Lord became one of us. He understands us completely and is able to save us. It is good news indeed that Jesus is the divine Lord who came to us as a human baby. Joy to the world, the Lord has come.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him move. Let nature see.
Good news of great joy. That's what the Christmas message is. The angel who announced Jesus' birth called the newborn child Savior, Christ, and Lord. Those three words show who Jesus is and what he came to do. And what was Jesus' ultimate goal? Well, to quote the angel chorus who responded to the good news, Jesus' goal was and is glory to God in the highest and peace on earth. As the Savior who rescues, as Christ the Messiah who fulfills God's promises, and as Lord of our lives, God with us, Jesus displays the glory of the loving God who would give such a great gift, and Jesus brings peace and well-being to the lives of people chosen and precious to God. When the angels exclaimed, "Glory to God in the highest," they weren't just making some nice sounds. They were praising and adoring the great and eternal God who brings glory to himself in everything he does. The supreme motive in every action of God is to show forth his own splendor and wisdom and power and holiness and justice and love and mercy and to make his glory known. We don't understand Christmas at all, and we don't understand anything God does until we realize that the most basic reason and the ultimate goal of everything God does is to bring glory to himself and magnify his own holy name. The Old Testament book of Isaiah is filled with prophecies about God's promised Messiah and the Lord's great salvation. In the midst of making these promises, God declares, "I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another." When God forgives and saves his chosen people, it's not because they're so good, but simply because God decides to display the mercy and love that are part of his own glorious being. God says in Isaiah, "But you have burdened me with your sins and wearied me with your offenses. I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. For my own name's sake I delay my wrath. For the sake of my praise I hold it back from you. For my own sake I do this. How can I let myself be defamed? I will not yield my glory to another." God is supremely important and supremely beautiful. God refuses to be ignored or taken for granted. God refuses to let anything else receive the glory that is his alone. God always acts for his own name's sake to show that he alone is God. He cannot deny himself or pretend to be less than he is. God delights in being known as the magnificent, mighty, holy, and loving God that he is, and it is his delight in showing forth his own character that is the ground of everything he does. God sent Jesus into the world on Christmas, not because we are so lovable, but because God is love, and he delights to show his love, to display and demonstrate his loving character. Christmas is not a tribute to our qualifications, but to God's character. And so Christmas is a time to join the angels in exclaiming, "Glory to God in the highest." Jesus wasn't just a sweet baby. He was and is the supreme revelation and gift of the Almighty, Most High God, who acts to bring salvation, not because he sees something glorious in us, but so that we might see his glory in Christ. One of our favorite themes in the Christmas season is peace on earth. That is certainly a wonderful part of the chorus of the angels. But peace on earth is the second part of the refrain, not the first. Glory to God in the highest comes first. God's glory always comes first. God's glory comes ahead of human wholeness. There is no peace for us where there is no glory for God. But in the coming of the Christ child, God's glory shines into sick, restless lives in a way that brings peace and wholeness through our Savior, Messiah, and Lord. It's good news of great joy that a God who could have glorified his holiness and power simply by wiping out his enemies has instead decided to glorify his mercy and his love by showering his favor on millions of people and giving them peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. How should we respond to such a glorious Lord? Oh, come, let us adore him. must adore Christ and delight in Him and prize God's glory above all things if we are to benefit from God's good news of great joy. We cannot have peace on earth unless we give glory to God. Only those who come to know and trust and adore God through faith in Jesus can know God's peace in their heart and become peacemakers in this world. The peace of Christmas is not just a vague sentiment that applies to everyone in general. Many of us are used to a version of the angel chorus which says, "Peace on earth, goodwill to men." But that old translation isn't quite accurate. Here's a literal translation of the biblical manuscripts. "On earth, peace to men of good pleasure." And the original word for good pleasure refers to God's good pleasure. The New International Version captures the meaning of the original when it says, "On earth, peace to men on whom God's favor rests." Christmas is not just a vague wish for general peace and a positive attitude among people in general. Jesus is not just a general hopeful feeling. Jesus is a definite, specific, divine gift to definite, specific people. Jesus is God's gift of peace to the people of God's good pleasure. Now, there's no denying that Christmas often brings with it a general, pleasant feeling of peace and goodwill. The birth of Jesus is so wonderful, and the Christmas season is so beautiful, that even people who don't glorify God or live under His favor can still enjoy some pleasant side effects of Christmas. But only when you trust that Jesus is your Savior, the promised Messiah, the Lord of all creation in human flesh, only then do you have a faith that brings glory to God and that gives you peace with God. Glory and peace go together. When God's glory shines upon us in Christ and we trust and worship Him alone, we enter into peace and wholeness. And that, in turn, causes God's glory to shine even more brightly. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. When we experience God's forgiveness and peace and fullness of life in Jesus, then our hearts and voices praise God and reflect His glory back to Him. So while it's true that we can have no peace apart from God's glory, it's also true that God is most praised and glorified in us when we are most at peace in Him. Peace and glory, glory and peace, these go together, and they are found in Jesus, our Savior, Messiah, and Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests. Let's pray together. Jesus, joy of the world, we celebrate your birth. Thank you, Savior, for coming to rescue us from sin and to give us eternal life. Thank you, Christ our Messiah, that every promise of God is kept in you. Thank you, Lord, that you left the splendor of heaven and humbled yourself as a baby in a stable, and that you understand us completely and call us brothers. Help each of us to receive this good news with joy this Christmas and to trust in you that we may give glory to God in the highest and know your peace here on earth. Amen.
You've been listening to the Back to God Hour with David Fettes. Our messages can be read or heard anytime on the internet at backtogod.net. And if you'd like a free printed copy of today's message, just write us and ask for the message called Joy to the World. Our address is the Back to God Hour, Box 557755, Chicago, Illinois, 60655. If you prefer a cassette or CD of the broadcast, you may have one for $5. The name of the message again is Joy to the World, and the address is the Back to God Hour, Box 557755, Chicago, Illinois, 60655. And when you write, please include the call letters of this station. Our internet address is backtogod.net. We'd also like you to know about our daily devotional booklet called Today. It contains a Bible reading and meditation for each day of the week. And we'll gladly send you a free copy of Today if you write us at the Back to God Hour, Box 557755, Chicago, Illinois, 60655. If you don't already belong to a Bible-believing church, please write us and we'll be glad to help you find one. Or if you'd like to study great truths of the Bible through the mail, ask about enrolling in a free Bible correspondence course. Just write the Back to God Hour, Box 557755, Chicago, Illinois, 60655. The Back to God Hour is a worldwide ministry of the Christian Reformed Church.